lot of anticipation for tomorrow's report with planting intentions. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, and Corey Bratlin joins us now. He's with AgMarket.net. So let's talk about this report. As you guys get a chance to kind of look at the potential that's out there, what do you see in pre-report for these numbers?
Hey, Susan, good to be with you here today. So report, it's one of our top reports of the whole year. We have this one, we have the June 30th, and then we always have the January 12th report. Those are your three big reports of the year. But a lot of anticipation coming up on this report. Obviously, the big numbers that we're going to talk about are the prospective planting numbers. And, through this winter and stuff, it sure looked like, okay, we're going to see corn acres come down a little bit, soybean acres up a little bit, not a big deal. Then here, last few weeks, the Iran conflict kind of broke out and has kind of caused, you know, fertilizer prices to creep up here. And now all of a sudden, it's the big question is how much acres will we see shifted from the corn side of things over to the soybeans? So, yeah, the trade is definitely looking for, corn acres right now, Susan, tomorrow to kind of come in. Average trade guesses around that 94.4 million acres, which is down from, 98.8 here last year. So, and a lot of those acres are going to get shifted over to soybeans, and rightfully so. We've got November new crop futures, trading, north of $11 up here in this $11.50 area, where a lot of folks that we work with, hey, they're back to $11 cash for new crop beans, and we haven't been able to sell some new crop beans for over $11 cash. So we're getting that opportunity right now, and so we are definitely going to see that shift of acres. The big question is going to be is, do we see anything surprises over and beyond the acres of what the trade has anticipated?
Yeah, and you talk about the geopolitics. That's also weighing in to what we see in these markets as it escalated over the weekend, kind of catching some headlines.
Yeah, it is. It's we're always so tied to the geopolitical side of things. When this war broke out, crude oil shot up. And what do? We saw some money flow kind of come into our commodities and into grains and kind of as an inflation trade. Anytime we have a war, it is an inflationary environment. So we're starting to see the funds kind of come in here and support commodities, especially, corn, soybeans in here where, last year, or I should say this past winter, they were heavily like into the precious metals. And now it seems like now they're spreading over into our ag complex here a little bit. And they're carrying some pretty lofty long positions here right now. So that's, giving this market some support. And then obviously, with the higher energy prices, that has a tendency to, bode into, hey, we're looking for some alternatives to our fuel prices to keep those down. We're seeing some countries like Brazil and Argentina, they started to increase their voluntary mandates, but going up from 12 to 15% on ethanol. And I think it's 15% on their biodiesel into their diesel fuel. So we're seeing countries do that. We saw here over the weekend, Indonesia is increasing their mandate for palm oil based diesel fuel from 40% up to 50%. So that's going to be a mandate. So that's kind of taking some of the palm oil out of the export market front and helping kind of support this soybean oil market a little bit, which is, I think, in return, kind of supporting our soybeans here today.
And I'm glad you brought up the concerns that over in Brazil, because I think we get so hyper focused on fuel prices. And we think of it's just here in the United States, but to showcase that, hey, this is also a big issue for farmers in other countries right now.
It definitely is. And like I mentioned, Indonesia is starting to look that. We've been here in some other countries, looking at similar policies. Yeah, they're in some of these markets. I think it was Taiwan, not a huge market share, but they're looking to start blending in ethanol to their gasoline prices as well. So, as we look here as our, renewable fuel standards mandates kind of get set, it does look to be kind of positive for this alternative energies, with the crude oil and the bio-based diesel fuel in here. And, quite frankly, I think we're seeing some really good margins on the soy crush plants and these ethanol plants right now, when typically right now they normally don't have very good margins, but they sure do this time of year, and that's helping offset or some of this demand with these higher prices. Naturally, you have a tendency to see maybe a little bit less demand via on the export front, But if we can pick that demand up domestically, that's just a win-win for our farming community.
And looking at lack of rain, I mean, we everywhere is praying for rain. And as you look at the markets, and it is starting to grow a little bit of attention coming up.
It is. You know, we've kind of been watching this for a few weeks now down in the southwest part of the U.S. You know, it was 2-3 weeks ago, they were talking, you know, 100, 105 degrees in Arizona, and that pushed over into western Kansas, western Oklahoma. And, you know, we're starting to see some crop damage kind of being done on their winter wheat down there. So, and now that's starting to spread up into these wildfires that we had sweep across Nebraska. You know, that's just devastating this time of year, especially when we're trying to get our cow-calf pairs out to pasture, and now we're not having a much luck with that. You know, just in any ways, anytime, Susan, it's just this time of year, it's always nice to get that, you know, nice warm 1-2 inch of rain and just kind of freshen everything up and get the grass off to a good start. But it does look like we do got some moisture coming here on the horizon. But, you know, when I look at that, you know, when you look at the drought monitor index, you know, from this year to last year, yeah, there's definitely a few pockets that have gotten worse. There's some pockets that have gotten better. But when I look at that, what does that bode or say to me? It's when we're dry going into spring, it usually means that we're going to have a early start to planting. And I think our folks down in the Delta, they sure did get off to a very good start and get a lot of crop ground planted here early. And, you know, usually when that happens, yeah, we have a tendency to see a few more acres get planted. So I'm still pretty optimistic. We've got some good moisture coming. I think a lot of the weather guys, including like the CPC, the Climate Prediction Center, they're still looking for a, you know, better than average chance of El Nino setting up in June, July, and August. So right now we might be testing that adage of planting the dust and the grain bins will bust. That might be on hand here this spring.
You know, besides the fact that we've got a little negativity going on in the April lean hogs, livestock for a Monday are looking pretty good.
Yeah, especially the live cattle, they responded very well last Friday. We had some higher cash. I kind of heard like most of the packers all come out a little aggressive on Friday. And quite frankly, I think the market just got so oversold and just couldn't break it anymore. So once the selling kind of dried up, boy, we responded back pretty darn quick. And so we got a little bit higher cash talking here. Demand, you know, seasonally speaking, the demand will start to pick up here for our beef demand. But, you know, and we still, you know, it's going to take a few years to get these numbers replaced. But higher cash price. And we also saw last Thursday, I think it was, that we saw some higher cash prices on the feeder cattle market in a few barns across the Midwest, where, you know, some of these certain weights finally kind of caught fire and got a good bid and not being at such a discount. So that definitely helped. Now, hogs, you know, they're off a little bit, 20-30 cents lower here today. But, you know, what I'm noticing is they put in some pretty good lows there late last week. We kind of gapped higher there on Friday. And we're starting to see some more demand surface here of these hogs. So, you know, I don't look for these hog prices to stay down here very much longer. I think they'll be moving their way higher.
All right. Sounds good. Corey Brentland joining us today with AgMarket.net. Quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Monday market wrap up right here on the American Ag Network.